All right, get going there, buddy.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever the hell you are on the internet. If you found us, God bless you. Thank you for listening and tuning in. This is EnlightenRadio.org's version of the Turd Sandwich Cafe, with featuring the Sports and Comedy Attack with me, Mike Cucurini, and your original Dusty Footed Philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, who makes all things run at Enlighten Radio. He's the man, as we put it. And exciting weekend. This past weekend was the divisional playoffs for the NFL. I'm certain they're happy. They had some pretty high ratings. And all the games, quite frankly, were very close. They were a lot closer than people estimated. In fact, they were too close for comfort for some folks.
In fact, Mike thinks the losers were the winners, which proves that he is just like Jesus Christ.
They're not winners. No, they're not advancing. Unfortunately, the Bills, once again, in the last couple seconds of the game, managed to give the game away to the Kansas City Chiefs, who will be appearing in their unprecedented six in a row AFC Championship games next week. The Kansas City Chiefs will be playing the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. It is the first time since 1971, I think, that a division championship game is held in Baltimore. I am all on board. I will be cheering for the Baltimore Ravens, although it's going to be a tall task, because what I saw yesterday was a very, very effective, quick, fast, ready-to-go Kansas City Chiefs team. They're really good. Now, I want to also – I saved this because I want to also say – congratulations to the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are advancing to go play the San Francisco 49ers next week, and they'll be playing in the NFC Championship game. So you got the AFC and the NFC. You only got four teams left, baby. This is it. These are the last two games of the year that are of consequence, and then you got one more, which you get 2 weeks off, and then you go play the Super Bowl. But I want to see something like a Baltimore-Detroit Super Bowl. I would love to see that, because those cities deserve both. So congratulations to your city, Detroit. Everyone is amazed at how, I don't know if you've seen the revitalization effort that's gone on there, John, but it's pretty freaking amazing.
We haven't been there in about 5 years since our good friends relocated to South Carolina, who lived there. We used to go out and see him during the jazz festival.
right. You told me that. Yeah. You just go out a lot. I've been out to Traverse City. I've been to Grand Rapids. I've been to Detroit. I've been to all these places. And the thing I love about Detroit is a long, long time ago, they were messing around with their highways. I don't know if it was Highway 45, but there was a sign posted that said no speed limit for the next 84 miles. I was like, okay, man, I gunned it, baby. I gunned it.
That was true in Kansas, too. When I was in Kansas in 66 and 67, there was no speed limit on I-70 all the way. I guess when you cross the Colorado line, it was there. So the kids would get out there and, you know.
Oh, hell yeah.
And have a, because there weren't that many cars anyway back then.
People didn't cross the country. Yeah.
Western Kansas, I mean, you know, the cows had to graze at about 5 miles an hour to get enough to eat.
Well, I mean, you know, talking about back in the day, we all know John probably still drives the same car. So that's, he still has that car.
I had a slant six.
Oh, no.
I did.
That's a Valiant. Like a power.
Yeah, I had a Valiant slant six.
I had a Pinto.
Well, that's a worse car.
Much worse. It was awful, but I loved it. It was awful, but it was mine. So
the slant six was a great car. It actually was a great car.
Shut up.
I drove it for 300,000 miles.
What's that?
I drove it for 300,000 miles. Slant six.
Oh yeah, you sound like me and my old Honda. I drove my old Honda. On two engines, I got to almost 700,000 miles.
It was easy to change the oil in it. And
it was
easy.
Was basic.
I didn't know that much about engines at the time, so I didn't do it. But my friend could tune it up. Yeah, put a bunch of new spark plugs in, and he had a little bunch of meters there to measure the charge and all
that. I used to work on my old Datsun pickup truck myself. I could change the oil myself. I knew where everything was. It was basic. Now you can't even tell what an engine is. Where does the computer start and the engine stop and the engine? It's crazy.
I heard that.
You got to be a programmer and a mechanic if you're working on today's modern cars.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You got to really be on your game. Now, I'll say this, too, about football this weekend. Once again, we are seeing, and even my poor wife, she has to suffer with me through some of these games. She indicated that she felt as if the officiating was even worse this year, and I don't disagree with her. It's bad. The NFL has a real problem, and they're going to have to address it in the offseason. People are getting really sick and tired of shitty officials. And the thing is you can challenge certain plays on the field, and the NFL has decided which ones you can challenge. You should be able to challenge just about anything. Possession is a big thing, possession of the football, where the football is marked. Did you get the 10 yards? On and on and on. And they have these ISO cameras that come straight down, run it in slow motion, and you can see exactly what happened. It's like super slow motion. Right. So I don't understand why you can't say, wait a minute, that was not pass interference. You threw the flag on my guy for pass interference. Your guy is the one that was doing it, and you called it on us. So the thing is if you're a coach, you should be able to challenge that. This is horse shit. This is not helping. It's not helping the NFL. If they want to know how to get some ratings, they should really seriously talk to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because he was able to take the XFL like nobody else could into the stratosphere as far as ratings go last year. That organization, the XFL, has now merged with the USFL, and they are now the UFL.
Interesting.
The United Football League. So now there's a lot of guys that don't make NFL rosters, not because they're not talented, because it's a numbers game. And it's essentially, this is now going to be, I think, a league of its own, so the NFL can kind of cherry pick guys and say, okay, you come out for training camp, you come out for training camp, we want to see this guy, this guy, and this guy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so they can. Sometimes people get a second chance and they take advantage of it. They work very hard. You know, I'm not going to take anything away from these football players. It's a hard game. It's a physical game. It's dangerous. And the average lifespan of an NFL player right now, do you know what it is, John?
What, 6 years?
Four.
Oh, okay.
4 years. So, you know, and there are guys that defy that. I mean, there was a guy, I think, in the game this weekend, that one of the games, he's 38 years old, and he's still playing wide receiver for an NFL team. He's been in the NFL for 17 years. So he still plays at a high level, and his name escapes me. I wish I could know. But just that kind of stuff's kind of amazing, because the duration of an athlete, you have to be that consistent, that committed, and that strong in your beliefs.
Yeah, no, you have to. Sure.
The way you take care of your body in the off season.
Yeah, you got to stay at it like a religion. You know, you really do. Yeah, right.
Right, right. There's no doubt about it. I mean, these jobs these days, we keep talking about, you know, Major League Baseball, basketball, football. These guys, it's a 24/7 job. I don't care what anybody says. If you're a professional sports athlete, that alone, I mean, look at the amazing, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Simone Biles. You know, I mean, just an amazing, amazing athletic person. Just incredible.
Yeah, right.
Just incredible. And she's married now, and her husband plays for the Green Bay Packers. They, unfortunately, Green Bay didn't win, but they played well. So that's good. That's a good thing. That's you know, Tampa Bay played exceptionally well against Detroit. In Detroit, I was kind of surprised that they stuck with them the whole game and came down to the last play. And unfortunately, Baker Mayfield, the much ballyhooed Baker Mayfield, who's basically had a comeback season. This is his fourth team. He was drafted by Cleveland. He made it to the playoffs before with Cleveland, just I think, 3-4 short years ago. So he played exceptionally well for Tampa until they got the last possession and he kind of released a duck and he threw an interception.
He released a duck? What would that be?
Well, that's what the ball looked like. The ball looked like it was a duck. It was blah, 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 blah. When we say duck, we mean the ball's just blah, 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 blah. It's just a bad pass.
You mean it's wobbly? So, it's not, you know, it's going end over end like a kick?
Just floppy. Anytime it's floppy, you'll hear all the bird references. You know, it's like Billy Kilmer couldn't throw a spiral. You know, he threw the ball and it went, blah, 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 blah. But it got there. It got there. No, George Allen didn't give a shit whether Billy Kilmer could, you know, spin the ball. As long as he was accurate, who gives a shit?
Is it
that ball's getting to that receiver? Nobody's going to.
Are there any stats on whether it's easier or harder to catch if it has a duck quality?
I don't think they've ever gone into that level of detail. I believe Amazon, though, has, when they're looking at studying the digital film and pulling data from it, I think that's one of the data points that they talked about.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, having data, I think the coaches are realizing having more data on each individual person and their role helps the football team decide how that guy is going to train. How should you train this guy? Should he have a much more physical upper body? Should he have an upper body strength and lower body strength? Is he light in the ass? Is he getting pushed around? Is he fast enough? There's all kinds of different things. And I got to say something. Aiden Hutchinson is one of the best stories in the NFL that nobody's talking about.
Now, what story is that?
He is a defensive end for the Detroit Lions. And he is a homegrown product. He grew up in Michigan. He played high school football in Michigan. He played college football in Michigan. And now he's on the Detroit Lions. And he is a certified badass. He is badass.
Badass.
I mean, he can't do it by himself. But, man, some of the rushing moves that he's developing are just nothing short of amazing. He's just a physical specimen.
Now, what position is he playing?
I want to congratulate him. He plays for the Detroit Lions.
For what position?
He plays defensive end.
Defensive end.
Okay. Yeah, the defensive ends these days, John. Think of a NBA basketball player that's a power forward, right? Mm. That's the kind of dimension you're looking for. You're looking for a guy that's between 6'5 and 6'9 and is somewhere near 270 to 300 pounds.
You know, before you finished that sentence and you said, instead of dimension, I thought you meant dementia.
No.
You know, but when your dementia reaches 700 pounds, what?
I blame Nikki Haley for January 6th. She was supposed to take the military and add it. Nikki Haley did it. Sir, that was Nancy Pelosi. No, I don't care. They're the same. They're the same people. Same person. Doesn't matter.
Look, it's word salad.
What?
It's word salad. You know, I could go along and say a bunch of random words that let's say I made every fifth one rhyme. You know, but it was just word salad, you know. And he's like,
exactly.
I probably would.
And things are a little hazy. I like gravy. What?
Yes, right.
Have you ever taken a fry and dipped it in some brown gravy? Spectacular. So
by
delicious.
The way, there's a just on the subject of Trump, there's a wonderful article in the Times. I mean, I get a lot of problems with the Times sometimes, but this woman interviewed over 100 Trump voters in Iowa. What's that? That's impressive. Okay. And her articles, I'll send you a link. You should take a look at it. It's all the different things that people say and do and all these things and what are issues and what are just weird, you know, all the, she has, get away from the headlines a little bit, you know, both Trumps and sometimes the anti-Trumps.
You can't just be,
you know, what are people really, these are real people. These aren't fictional, So I don't know. I was impressed by it. I'm not going to summarize it because it goes on too long. But anyway, yeah, just
John, here's the thing, though. Even the most doubting Thomases of us all, like Heilman. John Heilman was in New Hampshire reporting for MSNBC, and John's pretty good straight shooter. He's not the best in the world, but he has indicated. You know, the numbers are for them, for the entire party, are way down. You're talking about almost 48 to 52%. Less than they had before. So let's be straight about that. Let's make sure that we get that accurate, because he's talking about other people's rallies when the reality is the camera never pans back. And when the camera does pan back on his rallies, they're not nearly the size they used to be. They're just not. It's the bottom line. Sorry. I mean, you can talk about how, you know, regular working folk are supporting him or whatever, and he's got a much more effective campaign structure. No one gives a shit right now. And the reality is the more he talks and the more we hone in on this and the more you see him talk, you actually think Biden has an age problem? This guy can't fucking speak.
I heard that, Bob.
All right, so I'm done. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm done.
He's driving us all nuts. It's driving us all nuts. Yes, he can't even talk about it.
The giant head has spoken. There we go.
No, but I will send you the thing, because it is.
Please do. I want to read it. I read everything.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Cool. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, look, we all have our belief system. We all have, And Jamie Dimon, wow, he's creepy. He's just a creepy guy. He's sitting there being interviewed, and he's like, what? What are you afraid of? We did great before with him as president. We made lots of money. I'm like, you prick!
Hey, man, here's the bad news, is that if Biden did get sick and can't continue, guess who the two top guys in the bullpen are right now? Joe Manchin and Jamie Dimon. You know, I mean, Dimon's a Democrat. Sort of, you know, he is. Mm, he's not for Trump. He's trying, you know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he is. I don't think deep down inside he'll tell you that. You know, that was not a good press conference.
No, he was not in favor. He's him and his buddies, Gates and Bloomberg and Bezos, those guys,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
run
they
in different circles, man.
They
are different circles.
They don't. They hate Trump, but if you think they have a big love for democracy,
no,
you're crazy.
No. As long as they can continue to manipulate and lie and make money and not be responsible or accountable for the shit that they do, sure, why not?
I mean,
sure.
I mean, Bill Gates
would love to be irresponsible. That would be fucking great. Let me tell you, I'd love it.
I mean, Bill's thinking about buying West Virginia, so come on.
I am but a small, tiny peon in this existence of the internet podcasting and broadcasting world. Yes. Me, tiny little peon. My opinion probably doesn't fucking matter to most people. To me, it does. To my wife, it does. To you, maybe it does. I don't know. I like the interaction, though, because I like the fact that we both are in touch and we both read things and we both assume things that are, we have certain belief systems, some of them similar, not some of them not so much. And we can still talk about it and not scream at each other like we used to. You know, I don't like cursing and screaming at you, John. You're too smart. I can't. You're too smart of a guy. I want to read everything I can. I really do. And, you know, honestly, I understand where my younger brother's coming from with regards to Joe Manchin and not Joe Manchin. I'm sorry, Joe Biden and Vice President Harris. He's not real happy about the whole situation. He wishes we had somebody different to vote for. But in the end, he's not going to vote for a Republican. He's just not.
No,
he's not
right.
going to do it.
And I think that's my worst fear on Biden is what's. The foreign policy is killing him with young people in his own party.
Yeah, I do like that he threatened. He sat down and threatened, and they sent the Secretary of State, Blinken, over there again to sit down, not with Netanyahu, but with the other folk who are leading who want peace. That Netanyahu doesn't want peace. Here's the big conspiracy theory that my wife told me about that the QAnon folks are holding on to. Israel did that to themselves on purpose. That's sick, man. That's no, they did not. No.
Well,
no.
They're in a
now.
There has been an argument for years.
Yeah.
You know, about how tenable the Israeli state is, given you know the situation where it's well armed, and but it has never made peace with its neighbors. Okay, or been able to, or they haven't done it, or whoever is responsible, it's never happened.
Prior to this situation with Hamas, you had the Saudis ready to come to the table for the first time in 20 years.
But you can tell that underneath, there's the Saudi princes, you know, and some of the other folks, and there's this turmoil underneath the surface of things, you know, and the only time anybody around the world really notices it is when the price of oil goes up or down, you know, and then they, shit, what's happening in the Middle East? Well, it turns out there's people suffering on some horrendous levels in places, and no one's paying any attention to it, and so, they start striking matches. You
Not
know,
good.
I mean, I know that. I know that's what happens. Okay, and
it's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. Too many people are dying, man. They gotta stop. Too many people are dying. Too many people. Too many human beings. Too many civilians are fucking dying. Knock it off.
And you and I both know. Okay, you know when people get when things get rough enough. Okay, and you're threatened with destruction. There is an impulse to say, if you're going to take me down, I'm going to take you with me.
Yeah, you're coming.
You know,
with me.
You know what I mean? That when people pass that little barrier, you got an existential.
Like told,
you have an existential situation.
To a certain extent, I think you might be onto something here that we've talked about before. Is this natural human instinct? You know, you have this guttural kind of instinct, this reaction to say, you know. Fuck you. Now I'm going to kill everybody that you are associated with. Everybody. And I'm like, that is so wrong. You're doing the very thing that people have done to you.
Yeah. But, you
it
know,
sucks.
I mean, it happens.
Stop it.
It happens. You're right. And the U.S. military, I'm afraid, has a really big dose of that sort of doctrine, you know, built into it, which is
right. We have to remember.
Maybe you have to have it for certain kind for an army. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe you do.
I think,
okay, I don't know.
I think what that is that is involved in Yemen and the Houthis and the shipping lanes. You know, there's a lot of commercial vehicles that are been gone through that area that are now like, you know what. Fuck it. We're not going through that area anymore. It's just too dangerous. We're not doing it.
Yeah. 4,000 miles around Africa.
I know. It's crazy. It's right. Crazy, man.
It's expensive.
It's just like if there's some things like we sit back and lament. You know, you and I, we talk about things where why didn't we invest more in that? Because we're
know.
Stupid.
I don't
That's
know.
Why.
Anyway, they got, it's a, no, so. The price that will be reflected soon, I think, in the price of whatever things are taking the extra 4,000 mile trip, either going from the east to the west or vice versa.
Pass those charges on to us.
Those charges are gonna they're not gonna just evaporate.
So all the sad stuff in the world, that's just delicious. Oh, by the way, the kicker for the Buffalo Bills had an opportunity to tie the game, and he missed a 44-yard field goal.
Oh, dear.
It was 27-24, and he missed. But the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen got the ball back. It was, I think, 3rd and 15. Got a first down, started driving the ball down the field, and Josh Allen threw two horrible passes, and that was it. Then they tried the field goal. It was pretty bad because Josh was – he had a guy, Stephon Diggs, who's actually a graduate of Maryland.
Right.
University of Maryland. He was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings and then traded to Buffalo a couple of years ago, he was wide open in the end zone. Normally, my expectations for Josh Allen, he's so big and so strong, and this is why they call him the alien. He's just he's not like any other quarterback. He's gigantic. He's 6'5", almost 6'6". He's 260 pounds. He's strong as hell, and he runs faster than most of the running backs on his team. He just happens to have a howitzer strapped to his shoulder.
Where was he from?
He originally, I'm not quite sure. I think he's a Midwest guy. Or no, he's actually a West Coast guy. He's from California. He loves Buffalo, and the Buffalo Bills fans and the Bills Mafia love him. But the problem is Josh had been throwing great passes all game long, and the two shittiest passes he decided to unveil in the last drive of the game. And it's very, very unfortunate. It really is, because then they're driving down, and he whips the ball down the field, and it just kind of dropped. Yeah. So, and that was it. They couldn't do, you know. I have to give Andy Reid, the coach, a lot of kudos for being able. This is the first time Kansas City Chiefs have been on the road for the playoffs. This is the first time.
Andy Reid used to be in Philly, right?
Yes, he did. They fired him. Oh, and he knew. Shit. He knew just about that time when he's getting ready to get fired. I think the Kansas City Chiefs reached out to him, and he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll take it. Let me just, you know, fix things here." And he was. I mean, it was a. Jeffrey Lurie, I think, is the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. The problem with the Eagles now is that instability. I mean, hell, they had a guy who they fired his ass, and he brought him to the Super Bowl. They were in the Super Bowl. 2 years later, the guy was fired. Doug Peterson? Peterson's a jackass.
You know, the owner was probably a prick, and the managers told him he was, and then, you know,
well, you know.
I own the club. You're gone.
This is, you know, whatever. You're on your third coach in the last 7 years. You know, Washington is a different animal altogether. I'm very pleased with what I see Josh Harris doing. Josh Harris went out into the community of NFL geniuses and said, "Who do you guys think is a really up and coming general manager that's making really good moves?" Assistant general manager, I can't remember his name. It's killing me. For the San Francisco 49ers, who has a great deal. His resume is about recruiting talent at lower levels. And that's the kind of thing Washington needs. This is a guy that can evaluate someone and say, you know what, this guy shouldn't be a fourth-round pick. He should be a first-round pick. You know? So that guy is actually in charge of the Washington Commanders recruiting this year, and they got to go find a coach. And they will. They'll find a coach.
Say, since, you know, we live in West Virginia, and we have we probably have a pretty healthy, unhealthy picture of the impact of, you know, recent politics on rural budgets and the quality of education. And I'm assuming that is going to have an impact on the amount of money you can invest in sports programs. For example, football.
With the schools, yeah.
You know, because you're still tapping the same source of funds, really. The county,
well, you're also
county property taxes, right?
You're recruiting whatever you can. I mean, the reality is that portal. If people don't think that the Shepherd coach, the football coach, isn't looking to see who's in the portal transferring, you're out of your freaking mind. That guy, he's looking at all the little, who do we have now? How well do they play? And can I get this guy that just transferred from Michigan, he's in the transfer portal. He played 2 years at Penn State, say. And he was a dominant defensive player. Then he ran into some domestic issues and got kicked out of school. What were those domestic issues? Say the kid had 3.8 grade point average, terrific kid, and all of a sudden he has a domestic issue. And they remove him from the team. Well, now he's in the transfer portal. Are you going to take the risk to bring him in and find out what the hell happened? You know, there are actual lower level junior college.
Domestic, you mean possible criminal?
Yeah, nah. I just mean,
you mean got busted for pot, got busted for beating up his girlfriend, what?
No, I'm not going. I'm saying there's something simple, something basic where everything was misconstrued. He was hung out to dry, but he took it with a grain of salt, understood, said, look, you know, I'm willing to do my punishment, blah, 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 but I am going to put myself in the transfer portal to see if there's anything out there for me. And say Shepherd contacts him and says, hey, we'd like to interview you and see, and then have your, now it's getting to the point where you have psychiatrists and sociologists sitting down with these potential NFL players to ask them very, very specific questions to pull from them what their personality really is. And if that kid has the kind of personality where you're like, you know what, we're going to give this kid a second chance, I think, you know, they're going to hedge their bets and say, yes, and this is just a fictitious situation. This isn't even real. I don't know how many people have gone, but the image and likeness, that is causing a great deal of indigestion for a lot of college professors, because these guys are making money hand over fist from college. And the way they're making money is all of them are being used in certain games to sell certain things. Christ, you had the Heisman Trophy winner from last year who got injured this year is still doing a series of Dr. Pepper ads. And he's getting paid. He's getting paid a ridiculous. The young lady who is the gymnast for LSU sells a line of clothing, and she's on national commercials all over the place.
So that doesn't happen. So, probably someone's managing that for her or him.
Oh hell yeah! Oh yeah! They're allowed to. They're allowed to.
So you hire a manager to promote your. Celebrity, basically.
You don't just hire a manager, John. You hire a team, a whole team of people, management staff, all, you know, people think Scott, I can't remember, who manages most of the players in the D.C. area, both for for baseball, hockey, and football, and basketball. He's got a bunch of different athletes that he's signed with. This is why I do not, this is something that's starting to really piss me off. Do not judge Lamar Jackson by the way he speaks. Don't do it. You will do it at your peril. This is a very savvy, smart, athletically gifted human being. And he and his mother, not an agent. He and his mother negotiated his long-term contract, and he signed it. So he got what he wanted.
His mom must be something else.
she's what a pistol, right? Right? Yeah. I can see her sitting there. Hold on, we're going to read this and get back to you. Thank you, though.
That's cool.
Michael Jordan's mom was like that.
Was it his mom or his dad?
Very involved.
Which one was, what happened to his dad? Was his dad killed or something?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Somebody shot him and killed him.
Right, that's right.
This was after his success. He had already won two championships with the Bulls, with the Chicago Bulls. And I think he was thinking about playing baseball at that time. It was like, you know, let's remember, Jordan wanted to play baseball, and he went to the Chicago White Sox and played baseball for about a year and said, wow, I'm not very good at this. I'm not as good as I thought. And went right back to basketball. And he did. Unfortunately, Michael Jordan finished his career in Washington with the Wizards. Now, he played well, but it was like a much older, you know, more seasoned Michael Jordan. He played well for the Wizards, but he also came in to kind of be the player manager on the court, you know, and it just didn't. I know what Leonsis was thinking, but I just kept thinking, you're not going to get the Michael Jordan's all beat up. You know, he is. He's, you know, had a lot of issues. But, you know, I don't know what Leontis is trying to prove with moving the Caps and the Wizards to Virginia, that's not a done deal yet. They still have that lease until 2025, 2026, in that range. I know Muriel Bowser is trying to do everything she can to make sure that they stay right there in D.C. I don't know what's going to happen with the sports complex in Alexandria, Virginia, or Arlington, or wherever the hell they're putting it. I don't know if they're, you know, they always say, well, this is going to create 750 new jobs and billions of dollars in revenue for the state. Are you sure about that? You sure? Really?
Usually,
I don't think so.
It usually increases revenue. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, the Nats Stadium and where Nats Park is, that whole area has been completely redone. But the problem is the people that lived in that area can't afford it anymore.
Yeah.
So the price.
You know, the problem is that there's no real solution to that except public housing.
Yeah, and we don't do that.
Because if you're going to do... Well, I mean, otherwise, you end up saying, oh, no, we want to have a thing that's going to build cheap housing that's affordable, you know, and then you try to find a developer to do it, and you're going to end up having to subsidize him anyway because he's going to claim you can't make any money on it.
Do what one of the Texas cities did. They went out and bought a shitload of those shipping containers. And they put two shipping containers together and made a house.
Yeah. Tiny houses.
Because in this one area, there's a whole neighborhood of tiny houses. And people go there that are, you know, they graduate from being in a halfway house, you know, to acquiring some type of job skills, and you train them, and eventually they move into that facility, and they're very, very happy to be off the streets. Look, the reality is we still have a large number of working poor in this country that is just sad.
Yes, we do.
Because they can't afford to live where they're working, so they live in their car, or they live with a friend. They live somewhere else.
Yes, they do.
Which is just a damn shame, John. Hey, we're coming up on the top of the hour, aren't we?
You know, remember our... friend from WSHC, Joe Gray.
yeah, I remember Joe.
Well, he was in town. I think he's, you know, he has relations here. He comes back occasionally. Anyway,
when you say relations, Joe, what exactly?
I think his children, one of his grandchildren, are here. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And his daughter was. I think he actually relocated from here to Tennessee because his daughter moved to Tennessee.
I understand that.
And so he could be near the grandchild. All right. That was really, I think, his motivation. Anyway, he was telling me he's had an interesting thing to say about both. But he's living in Nashville, which is a city. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, you know, in the last 25 years, the things I've learned the most is that people in the country have a different idea of freedom than people in the city. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting thing to say. I don't think
that's not true. I think that's
there's a lot of
truth to reveal within that too.
You know,
remember the joke you and I were talking? We're talking about a redneck and a hillbilly.
Yeah,
like a redneck will just yell shit at you and insult you, right? Just be like, it'll be like lowbrow, hey, you fat bastard, you can't boom, 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 and I don't like you being insulting them. This here is my truck. And then you got a hillbilly. If you approach a hillbilly's property, they're going to be, hey, man, what the hell you doing over there? Come on over, sit down and have yourself a drink. I'll get around fixing to make bittles. I'm going to tell you a story. And you're like, I want to leave. You can't leave. You got to stay here because that'd be rude.
You see that crow?
I'm not letting you go nowhere till I feed you, get you some food, and we sit around and we talk around the fire when we're drinking our moonshine. You get it? That's a hillbilly.
Pay no attention to the raven above the door.
Hey, man. Look, speaking of the Ravens, I'm going to be cheering for the Ravens next weekend. So,
okay.
Oh, I'm so excited for the city of Baltimore to host an AFC Championship game. It's freaking amazing.
Okay.
Yay!
Keep it under control. Okay. Maybe you should.
Sorry, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. God almighty.
All right. Well, you know, we're coming up on 8 o'clock here, John.
Yeah, man. We've been on 45 minutes.
We might have another one in the can, as they say.
In the can. That's right.
Baby. So
the Turd Sandwich Cafe has serving a rich breakfast at the moment. I'm sorry for any possible stink that you may have experienced. We apologize for that. John. However, just think what's going to happen when you get to work today.
We're doing prep right now.
This will seem like
for all of your turd sandwiches. You're going to have turd breakfast sandwiches, turd lunch sandwiches, and turd dinner sandwiches.
Right.
Just depends on the right day.
No matter what happens. And remember, the purpose is
that don't give a shit.
No matter what kind of shit they feed you at work, you're going to say, I've already had mine. I don't need any more.
Yeah, you can say, no thanks, I'm full. I got it. Right. I listen to these two idiots on the internet. God, they're morons, but man, they're funny. That was hilarious.
Okay.
Folks, we thank you. And all the people on the ground, planes in the air, ships at sea, we thank you, Mr. and Mrs. America, for tuning in to this once again. Fun show to do, John. It was a blast. You're a stone cold groove, brother, and I thank you. And we will talk to you next Monday.
All right, www.enlightenradio.org. Take care. It's late. Everything comes next.